You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. Today is Tuesday, June 26th. I am Patricia Traina, and I write for The Athletic, for Sports Exchange, Inside Football, Big Blue View, and a whole bunch of other places all over the place. And unfortunately, Ed Valentine, my usual co-host, is not with me. He is taking a quick little vacation, lucky him. But not to fear, I am joined on this podcast by a very special guest, a guy whose work I have admired and respected ever since I came onto the beat. He is the one and only Paul Dottino of WFAN. Paul, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Good to be with you, Patty, and you better tell Ed there's supposed to be no days off.
That's what I thought. We were talking about that actually last week, but he goes running off on a vacation. The nerve of him, right?
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, Paul, let's jump right into it. The New York Giants, you know, it's some downtime now. We got about actually less than a month now before the full squad reports. But let's, if we could, kind of rewind the tape on what we saw during the spring, get some thoughts from you. You know, I know Ed and I have talked about our thoughts, you know, probably ad nauseum at this point, but let's get a fresh perspective from you since you are Mr. Giant. And let's start off by what has you most excited about what you have seen so far from this roster?
Well, I think offensively you have to start with Saquon Barkley because not only is he going to add big play ability to the running game, but, you know, we see what he can do in the passing game as well. They have run a ton of screen passes during these spring practices, Patty. And, you know, you and I both know the screen pass has not been a very effective weapon for the Giants in many years. And, in fact, you know, to be honest, they didn't go to it very much, and justifiably so. That's not going to be the case this year. They're going to go to it a lot. And Barkley, when you get him in space, he is going to be ultra dangerous. So I think that's one thing that impresses me about what they're doing because it's going to be a lethal part of their attack, and it's obvious that they're not going to be afraid to use it. And then I think the other thing on the defensive side of the ball, we now see a lot of athleticism at linebacker with Alec Ogletree, who is a three-down backer, who is the most complete linebacker the Giants have had, really, when you get down to it, since Antonio Pierce, and combine him with the hopefully healthy B.J. Goodson. And I got to be honest with you, I'm very impressed with the athleticism of Lorenzo Carter, who I think the Giants were very fortunate to get in the third round. You suddenly see now that position, which has been subpar for a lot of years, now has some pretty darn good athletes to put on the field. And that should really help them a lot.
Agree. I mean, Lorenzo Carter is definitely a player that caught my eye on several occasions with his athleticism. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, Paul, let's talk about the concerns you have. I mean, no roster is ever really complete, certainly not in June, and Dave Gettleman himself has said roster building is a year-round process. As of where things stand right now, is there an area or two on each side of the ball that concerns you?
Well, let's start on offense. I mean, we still don't know for sure until they hit about the offensive line. I mean, we could talk all we want about how they look like they're coming off the ball better and they look like they're making the right moves with their assignments, but until that offensive line has pads on and they actually start to hit people, we won't know how much improved it is. On paper, it looks like it's significantly improved, but they got to get out there on the field and do it in live action. So that, to me, is still a question mark. And I also believe, quite honestly, that the depth chart at wide receiver is wide open. You know, after you get past Shepard and Beckham, you know, I would think Latimer has the inside track as the number three. It appears that he does. But after that, can you guarantee me who number four, five, and maybe six are going to be? I don't think so. I think we're going to learn a lot about those positions during the course of the preseason. And then on the defensive side of the ball, well, after Olivier Vernon, you know, can you guarantee me that anybody else on that defense is going to have a minimum of 6 sacks? I don't know that you can. So, you know it's going to be pressure by committee. It's going to be a fluid scheme. It's going to be a confusing, complex scheme. But is there really going to be a potential double-digit sack guy after Olivier Vernon? And it would be really great if the Giants did have a second guy who could potentially push 9 to 10 sacks. I don't know that there is one right now. So that, to me, is certainly a question. And then I think the other thing on defense, because I think there are two questions on both sides of the ball, the other one on defense is truthfully at corner. You just don't know. You maybe just say the secondary in general. You know, after Apple and Jenkins, you think William Gay has got the inside track at the third corner, but even Coach Pat Shurmur said he's not sure about who the third, fourth, and fifth corners are. That's quite a battle going on. So that's not solved. And do we really know who the other safety is going to be next to Landon Collins? Is it Darian Thompson? Or maybe not. I mean, he had a subpar year last season, and this coaching staff has certainly got no loyalty to him. They're new. So, you know, that's kind of a question too.
And I think we also have to throw in special teams. You know, we don't know who's the punter's going to be. We probably don't know yet on the kicker. We would think Aldrick Rosas has the inside track on that job, but certainly there's going to be competition there. So it seems like there's a bunch of questions on special teams as well.
Well, you know, I think based on what we've seen so far, there's a decent chance that Hunter Sharp is going to be the lead return guy. I suspect right now, if I had to put, you know, a couple of chips on somebody's helmet, it would be Hunter Sharp. But in terms of, you know, the punter, yeah, that's still kind of open at the moment. I'm not 100% sure that Dixon's going to win that job. And then kicking-wise, I'm still a Rosas guy. I think he worked through his rookie problems, and I'd like to believe, because I think he's got a lot of talent, I'd like to believe that he holds off whatever the challenge is going to be during the course of the summer. You're right. Those are questions. I don't know that they're as glaring, but I think they certainly are still questions.
If I could, Paul, I'd like to go back to the offensive side of the ball and a point that you raised about the third receiver, the fourth receiver, and so on. You know, you look at the personnel and how it stacks up. You're going to have Odell. You're going to have Sterling Shepard. You're going to have Evan Engram. You're going to have Saquon Barkley. I imagine Rhett Ellison might get some passes thrown his way as well.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of guys capable of stepping in who are not necessarily receivers who can maybe be that third receiver. I mean, do you think that's probably why the Giants don't seem to be as – panicked isn't the word I want, but, you know, it was just surprising that they didn't really address receiver in free agency or the draft. They have a bunch of undrafted free agents. They did bring in some guys in free agency, you know, like I think one-year minimum qualifying offer. So did that kind of surprise you, or do you look at the, you know, Engram, Ellison, Barkley, and say that just maybe they're going to have enough to, you know, that maybe they won't even have enough balls to go around to those guys?
Yeah, you know, Patty, I did think during the offseason that they might address a tall, rangy speed burner in the draft, or potentially, you know, on the lesser side of the pricey free agents. But maybe even not a speed burner, maybe even a guy like Eric Decker, who's a tall, rangy, but possession kind of receiver. That was not to be. And I think you certainly have the right clues here as to why not. I'm sure that they believe they're going to use Engram a lot when they go to their multiple wide sets. And they probably feel as though, okay, you know what? Latimer is a bigger, taller receiver, so you put him with Shepard and Odell in the three wides. Then you got the option, if you're going to go four wides, you might as well just put Engram out there and make him the fourth receiver. And to be honest with you, you know, that leaves Roger Lewis, Travis Rudolph, and Hunter Sharp to, you know, you'd have to figure to be the lead candidates in the fight for whatever room is left on that depth chart. Now, Sharp has the most return ability in special teams. That may give him the inside track for the five spot. And then you say, okay, well then who's number six, if they even keep six? And that could very well come down to then Roger Lewis against Travis Rudolph, unless one of these other fellas emerges, you know, during the course of the preseason. But you make a good point. There's a good chance that the number five receiver doesn't see a whole lot of snaps during the season, because Ingram will probably be the fourth wide in those sets.
Paul, flipping back to the defensive side, you know, we keep hearing the word multiple when describing James Betcher's system. And I get the impression that people kind of don't really understand what that means. And by that I mean they say, oh, Betcher runs a 3-4. When you look at what he has done during the spring, and I know he hasn't shown everything and he's probably not going to show everything, but what kind of system does this remind you of? Does this kind of take you back to the, I don't know, the Parcells era? You know, does it take you back to, I don't know, trying to think who else ran a 3-4? It might have been Dan Reeves in his first year.
Anything, you know what, Patty? I'm going to stop you there, because it doesn't remind me of any defensive scheme that I have seen in my years around the Giants. Because his 3-4 base is not your typical 3-4 base, whether it was the Parcells era or whether it was even Spagnuolo, who, you know, on occasion would run, you know, some 3-4 stuff mixed in his sub package. But again, nothing like what Betcher does. Betcher is going to have basically, don't even categorize it as 3-4 or 4-3. With Betcher, it's about how many guys are going to be on the line of scrimmage, and then how many guys is he going to send after when the pressure package? He's going to have sometimes three, sometimes four, sometimes five, sometimes six guys on the line of scrimmage. And he doesn't care how many of those six guys are linemen, linebackers, or defensive backs. He's just going to put a various number of guys on the line of scrimmage. And that's the problem with identifying him as a 3-4 or 4-3 kind of defense. Because in your traditional definition, 3-4 defense means three guys with their hand in the dirt, and those are all defensive linemen, and your four guys are stand-up linebackers, and, you know, they could be on the line of scrimmage or standing behind it. Well, again, with Betcher, he might only have, for example, two guys with their hands on the dirt, but a six-man front with four guys standing up. Well, what are you going to call that? You know what I mean?
Very good.
So,
good point.
So don't call him. You know, we're saying it, but in reality, that's an old-school, outdated definition for what this guy wants to do.
So multiple is probably the best way to describe it.
It really is. It really is, because, you know, is what we're talking about, Olivier Vernon being a linebacker now. He's not a linebacker. He's not. He's a stand-up defensive end. He really, I've talked to a lot of my old school football guys about this. There's no longer, in many cases, defensive ends and outside linebackers, specifically weak side linebackers and defensive ends. Because what you now have are what the new position they've identified, and they started doing this in the draft. I guess last year they started doing it, and now this year they were very heavy in doing it. They now call these guys edge rushers. So you have defensive linemen, okay, you have edge rushers, and you have linebackers. It's almost like weak side linebacker, that's just a stupid term now. That just doesn't make any sense. Now that guy is now called edge, because he could be lining up with his hand in the dirt, or he could be lining up as a stand-up rusher, and he may be right on the line of scrimmage, or he may be a step or two behind it. And it doesn't matter, because he's coming. So he's now an edge rusher. which we got to have to, we have to change the names of these positions, Patty, because, you know, the new game is not lending itself to the old definitions anymore.
I know, times are changing, right? It's going to be hard.
Hey, I remember when split ends and flankers were names for wide receivers. Now they're calling them X, Y, and Z.
See, you're dating yourself there, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I can tell you, there are people a little older than me who remember that there was no such thing as a tight end. They were called offensive ends. And then in the early 60s, Joe Walton was the Giants' first official tight end, and that was back in 1963. Before that, they just called them offensive ends. So, I mean, the game morphs.
It sure does, and it's, and that's what keeps you coming back for more and more. Paul, let's turn to the expectations of this team. Now, obviously, high optimism in the building. Everybody, you know, it's a new regime, not just in the coaching staff, but upstairs in the front office. You know, a lot of optimism. Certainly, they can't go any lower than after what happened last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I look at a team that has a new coaching staff and a new regime, and then especially a team that didn't do so well last year, has a little easier schedule, I always have like a little asterisk in the back of my mind saying to myself, well, the rest of the league really doesn't have film on this team, plus this team is playing a easier schedule. Do you think that, you know, the Giants can sneak up on people, or do you think they can really turn it around, be a powerhouse no matter, you know, what kind of schedule they were going to play, and just kind of take the league by surprise?
Well, I think both sides of the ball are going to have to get used to the new staff, the new scheme, the newness of everything, since they basically, you know, changed so much, including personnel. To me, and Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame front office executive, once said, and I think it's more true than ever nowadays in the NFL, because of the lack of practice time with the CBA and because there's so much player movement with free agency and stuff and salary caps, I do think he's 100% correct, that you don't really know what your team is in many cases until they're already a month into the season. You got to get through those first four games, and it's not until like week five. And you know this, Patty. We've been watching this game a lot of years between us, and especially in the last decade or so. September football, in a lot of ways, is an extension of the preseason. It's not great quality football because these guys are just not in rhythm. They're not in tune. They're not in sync. And so for me, I think the Giants need to try to get to 2-2 after the first four games of the regular season. If they can do that at 500, basically they make themselves a 0-0 team with a 12-game schedule. Let's see what they are by week five. If they're at 2-2, and it's going to be a little tough to do that. Let's not kid ourselves now. They you know, that's a tough first month. But if they can do that and be at sea level with 12 games to play, I think they give themselves a sporting chance of realistically being in some type of wild card conversation in December, to where they're playing meaningful games during the holidays. And I think that's all you can ask for.
For sure. I think that's a great point. Paul, I have to ask you the obligatory Odell question. But before I do, tell me that I'm not crazy when I say that there's no rush to get this done now, that really, you know, they don't play until September 9th, and everybody who seems to be panicking, and I know I see it on my Twitter timeline, I'm sure you get it on yours, that they just need to kind of take a deep breath, step back, maybe go out, enjoy this nice weather we're having, enjoy the beach or whatever. I mean, am I crazy for thinking this?
No, you're 100% right, Patty. You got a couple of things at play here. First of all, you know, the Giants themselves need to make sure that everything is 100% medically fine with Odell Beckham Jr., you know, when they make their commitment to him, whatever that commitment's going to be. And let's not forget, you know, he's coming off of significant ankle surgery. Landon Collins himself is coming off much more minor forearm surgery, and he hasn't been doing full team drills during the off season like Beckham has not been doing it. Is it really any surprise that a conservative medical staff like the Giants have had over the years, they're holding these guys back? I'm not surprised at all. It makes perfect sense to me, and it fits their MO based on the Giants' history. So, you know, I understand, you know, the player's perspective for sure. You know, he wants to get his guarantee. He wants to get as much money as he can. But I also understand, you know, the medical guys who are going to put their 2 cents into the whole thing in terms of holding him back. And then I also understand that at some point the team needs to see what they need to see before they shell out the bucks. Let's not forget, in 1986, how Joe Morris held out and signed his contract literally hours before the Giants took the field opening night against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's not forget that. Do you know what happened in that 1986 season? I think the Giants got a Lombardi Trophy, right?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, so what's the rush? It'll get done when it gets done, as John Mara says.
For sure, for sure. Now, Paul, I know it's early. They haven't been in pads. But do you have a sleeper right now, a guy that maybe has piqued your interest that you're going to keep a close eye on this summer?
Well, I guess when you use the term sleeper, I could probably interpret that in a lot of ways. I'm really anxious to see Ogletree, you know, play in the Giants system and see what he brings to the table as a three-down run and hit linebacker who, you know, can go sideline to sideline and can really get around and cover a lot of ground. I'm anxious to see him. I'm anxious to see this offensive line and Barkley get their thing going. I'm anxious to see Eli Manning, who I think is going to have a terrific bounce-back season. I'm anxious to see Beckham come back after serious ankle surgery. You know, I'm anxious to see if Lorenzo Carter can be that second pass rushing, you know, sack specialist that they hope he can be. I'm anxious to see if, in fact, Olivier Vernon can be what Chandler Jones was to Betcher's Arizona Cardinals and get double-digit sacks. So there's a lot of stuff I'm really anxious to see. You know, the heck with summer. Let's get to training camp tomorrow. But, you know, I think you want to talk about a sleeper. You know, I always like to name my sleepers, you know, during the rookie minicamp and, you know, the guy that nobody pays any attention to who was an undrafted rookie free agent who I think has a legitimate chance to make it. And a lot of people are talking about Grant Haley, the Penn State cornerback, and I understand that. I absolutely think he's got a chance, especially because of the thinness of the depth chart at cornerback. I agree with that. I like Nick Gates, the guard out of Nebraska. I personally believe, I watched tape on him, I scouted him, I think he is technically sound, I think he's got strength, I think he's got a terrific mentality. I think he's got a future in the National Football League. Now, it's going to be at guard. He played tackle at Nebraska, which probably means he's going to be practice squad, because I think the Giants are so deep at guard. They're probably even going to have to cut a veteran. So I don't see him necessarily making the 53. But I think Nick Gates is a guy who can play in this league. He was an afterthought during the draft. And I like his potential. So I'm going to say Nick Gates is my annual free agent sleeper to make it on to the team's payroll, shall we say. Because he's going to wind up being a practice squad guy, I'm pretty confident. I'd love to see him get on the 53. I don't know that he can make the jump that quickly with all of the veterans in front of him that are going to be playing during the preseason.
Nick Gates is a player whose number I wrote down a lot during the rookie mini camp. Isn't that funny? I thought to myself, because when I go into this, I just write numbers down. I don't write names down because I don't want to be, you know, jaded towards anyone in particular. And when I saw how many times I wrote his number down, I said, oh, this guy's got something. So,
well, Patty, you're getting a scoop here because I have not talked about Nick Gates, but maybe only once on the air with anybody else over the course of the last 2 months. So I have just effusively praised this guy in public now for the first time. So you got a scoop, and you know my track record on these things is pretty good. So Nick Gates is a guy to watch.
All right. Well, we appreciate that scoop. Paul, one more before I let you go. Now, when we look at teams that bring in a new coaching staff, you know, some teams seem to take to a new coaching staff quickly. Some teams take a little longer to click. But based on your experience, your observation, especially your experience going back over the years, are you, I don't know if satisfied is the right word, but are you seeing this team come together at a reasonable pace, or does the chemistry and the cohesiveness still need a lot more work, or how much more work in your opinion?
It looks like it's coming along. But I hesitate to say that with confidence because training camp hasn't started yet. All signs are pointing in the right direction during the early part of the spring. I think, Patty, the good news is the guys who have been added to this roster have all lived up to their billing. The rookies look like they are everything that they were advertised to be. Some of the newcomers in terms of veterans look like everything that they were expected to be. So at the moment, the menu looks pretty good. But, you know, sometimes you order from the menu and then the waiter comes and serves you the meal and it doesn't turn out to be quite the way you want it to be and you send it back to the kitchen. Well, we don't get to that point or we won't know anything about how bad or how good that meal is until they actually get into those preseason games. Because you and I have also seen many a times when you thought training camp was going well for a particular player or a unit, and then all of a sudden in the preseason games, it was like, wait a minute, that could be a mirage because this is looking like a warning sign and a problem area that, you know, you didn't see during the first 2.5 weeks of camp. So I kind of want to reserve judgment. I would say to this point, though, things look as though as they were advertised, and that's about the best thing you realistically can say.
Sounds good, Paul. Before we let you go here, just give the people a plug where they can find your work. I know they can find you on Giants.com, and where else can they find you?
Well, on Twitter at GiantsWFAN, and as you said, Big Blue Kickoff Live weekdays, Monday to Friday, 12 o'clock on Giants.com. And then, of course, on the airwaves on the Fan in New York City every once in a while when they pop me on during the off season, which isn't very much. It's downtime, Patty, and you know I'm itching to go. So this is not a good time for me.
I know. You're probably wearing out your carpet, pacing back and forth going, what, is it football time yet? Is it football time?
I've already slammed my calendar across the room 3 or 4 times in the last week.
I believe it. You need a vacation, man, for sure. Paul, listen, thank you so much for taking time. Great stuff. Giant fans, that will conclude today's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Ed and I will be back later in the week. We'll have more rundowns of our position units. We'll talk about the upcoming opponents that the Giants will be facing. So keep it here on Locked On Giants, and have a good one.